Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend John Glennon from the Nashville Post. Johnny, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you guys?
Doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So Barry Trotz making it official yesterday and announcing that Andrew Brunette back as head coach. I mean, John, when they announced last week that he was having a press conference on Monday, I doubted very seriously that they were waiting 5 days to then just go ahead and announce that they were firing the coach at that point. So not necessarily surprised that that was made yesterday, but what do you make of that decision from Trotz and the reaction that you've seen from the Predators fan base?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I didn't think it was a surprise. I honestly never really thought, even after the year that they were going to fire Andrew Brunette. I think Trotz had kind of continually made indications throughout the year that he wasn't going to give up on Andrew Brunette. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those deals where I think if you look back, and Barry Trotz was asked, you know, how can you say, you know, Andrew's is a good young coach based on what happened last year? And you can't really look back at last season and offer much in the way of a defense. There's just very little defense in terms of, you know, the young players didn't show a lot of improvement. The veterans dipped. The consistency, the team never worked. So I think what you're reliant on if you're Barry Trotz is looking at the full resume. And that includes two seasons where he was nominated for NHL Coach of the Year. Could all that have simply gone away in 1 year? I think that's probably what's going through Barry Trotz's mind. And I think you have to remember, too, the bonds that these guys have. Obviously, Andrew played for him, you know, in the AHL and in the NHL. This is Barry's first pick as a head coach, wants it to go well. And I think Barry Trotz probably remembers, too, that, you know, David Poile was very patient with Barry Trotz. We all know that he could have pulled the trigger, you know, much, much earlier than he did at times, but gave Barry Trotz the chance to flourish. And that's probably in Barry Trotz's mind as well. But, when you look at the other side of it, as you say, and the fan base, it's what have you done for me lately? And last year was a disaster. There's no two ways of getting around it. I think Barry Trotz gave us kind of a blueprint, and we can get into that, about what needs to happen for Andrew Brunette to continue his stay longer than, you know, whether it's a few months next year. I think he gave us an idea of what he wants to see.
He's been unconventional, John. I think even, again, a lot of places would have probably canned Andrew Brunette during the season last year. As you said, he came up with a lot of patience and all that stuff. Do you feel like, because the outside world is going to say that Andrew Brunette is on the hot seat, and if they don't start well the first month or whatever, you know, he could lose his job. But do you feel confident that's how Barry Trotz looks at it, or is it possible he would stick with him even beyond all that stuff, no matter how much screaming is going on outside the organization?
I think he'll give, you know, Andrew Brunette a solid chance next season. You know, and he talked a little bit yesterday about one of, you know, the Washington team that Barry Trotz coached, the team that went on to win the Stanley Cup in 2018. He said it took them about 30 games before they really got it together. So it's not going to be an instance where, you know, Andrew Brunette gets off to a 3-7 start and the axe falls. But as I say, I think Barry Trotz, as he went over his words and the points he made, I think he gave us an idea of what he needs to see more of. Some of the points that stood out to me, you know, obviously 5-on-5 play needs to be better. And that's a pretty big chunk of hockey. When you say, yeah, we need to be better 5-on-5, that's pretty much most of the game.
We need to be better at hockey.
What's that?
We need to be better at playing hockey.
that's right. I think another point, defensively, they have to be better. That's not only, obviously, the goaltending, but around UC Saros. Connectivity on the ice has to be better. They have to be playing as one unit out there. I think Barry Trotz is very clear about the fact that the team has to be held accountable. That was one thing he kind of sort of poked at Andrew Brunette and said, you know, this has to be better. Everybody, whether they're experienced or not, has to be held accountable. And then the mental mistakes, sort of, you know, the things like, you know, offensive zone penalties and too many men on the ice, those kind of mental mistakes have to be greatly reduced, I think. So, you know, if you look at maybe like 5 or 6 points like that, I think that's what Barry Trotz is going to be looking for. And again, if he doesn't see it after 10 games, I don't think it's going to be a case of, all right, that's it. But if it's 20 games or 30 games, you know, it's a different story. You know, it's you can't keep relying on, well, hey, Andrew Burnett was a nominee for NHL Coach of the Year a couple times. That doesn't really matter. What is going on in the here and now matters at some point. So, you know, I think there has to be clearly a much better start in the coming season.
So, John, he brought up the words buy-in, I don't know, 30 times yesterday. Like he said that a lot yesterday. And, you know, I asked him about Marchessault and his comments after the season, and he immediately got into the buy-in and started talking about, like, the non-negotiables that you have to have from your players. What do you make of kind of his insistence on the buy-in not being where they wanted it to be this past year? And how do you fix that? Like, what do you make of that with this group moving forward?
Yeah, I thought, you know, one kind of theory that comes to mind for me is, you know, we've talked obviously about kind of the big three free agents coming in and Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea. You know, the year before, they brought in three veterans, and things worked great. You know, they were an overachieving team. They went to the playoffs. But those three vets, O'Reilly, Nyquist, and Shen, all those guys had moved around a pretty good amount in their career. They weren't necessarily locked into one system. They were able to adapt, I think, pretty quickly. This year, when you bring in Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea, you know, Stamkos had played 16 years in Tampa. Marchessault had played 7 years in Vegas. Shea had played last 5 years in Carolina. I think those guys were older guys, not only older, but all pretty locked in to what they had been doing because they had a lot of success in those systems. And I think, you know, none of the guys ever said this, obviously, but I wonder if there was a sense of when things started to go wrong, it was more like, boy, what have I got myself into? This team is really not good. What's going on here? And I think, and I'm sure the Predators are hoping that if that is the case, then in the coming year, that adjustment period is gone. And instead of looking around and saying, boy, what's going on with this team, those three, the big three, sort of realize that, hey, this is my team. I need to be part of the solution. I can't just say, wow, what have I gotten into? I need to be part of the reason that this team is turning it around and making the playoffs. And now they've had a year under their belt. You know, Barry Trotz talked about closure with a guy like Marchessault late last year. And I think that goes into the buy-in that you talked about, Robbie, that you know, I think maybe in that first year you're more likely to go, what are we doing? I don't like this system. This is not what I've been doing for the last half decade. I had success. Whereas now you're like, okay, we're in, we're all in. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I better buy into the system because I have to be part of the reason we get back to the playoffs. I'm not getting any younger in my career.
Do you think it'll work?
I have no idea. I think they'll be better because of that. I really do. But how much better? I think that remains to be seen. I think that's not the only issue. You know, I talked about age and speed and those kind of things. I think those are issues that need to be addressed in terms of roster as well. And I think it's, you know, there's going to be a challenge to making big changes in the roster because a lot of these guys are locked up for next year. So, you know, Barry Trotz is going to have to work some of those, you know, as he called them yesterday, the hockey trades, the player for player trades, in order to make some changes.
All right, John, last thing for you here. What's your view of where the Titans roster stands after the draft has come and gone? Are they better? Are they worse? How do you view what the Titans are walking into here in year number two with Brian Callahan?
Yeah, I think they're certainly better. You know, I think in terms of the draft, I think it was a good draft. It was my first impression. But, you know, I don't think it outside of Cam Ward, and certainly what the hopes are for Cam Ward, that he is a kind of a transformational player and sooner rather than later. You know, I think maybe I would have liked to have seen in those second and third round picks guys that might have been able to come in and make more of an impact in their first year. I think both Oladeo and Winston will eventually be very good players, but you know, when you're taking second, third round picks on a team that finished 3-14, maybe you'd like to have a guy that's going to make more of a difference early. But I like the wide receivers. I think those guys are definitely going to make a difference out there. So I still think there are, you know, some positions that are question marks. You know, inside linebacker, there's a lot of inexperience next to Barton. You know, edge rusher, there's really not a number one. You know, Arden Key is your best guy, and Draymond Jones after that. So there's still some real questions about the pass rush. And, you know, what about L'Jarius Sneed? You know, if he's there, if he's healthy, if there's nothing hanging over his head, that's a pretty good room in the cornerbacks. If he's not there, it's obviously a massive difference, and you're talking about a much less experience. So that's a question mark that needs to be answered as well. So there's still some question marks, but, you know, certainly a better team than they were at the end of last year.
John, we do have somebody on the text line wondering if you think Barry Trotz should consider signing Trey Avery.
Now is that Keezer? Is that Keezer on the line? Who's calling in on that?
Unnamed texter. Just throwing it out there.
I see. That would be an issue. You know, Barry Trotz maybe having another availability here. You know, not too far down the line.
We'll have to get to the bottom
agency,
of it.
And I don't think Trey Avery is under contract. So maybe we can raise that point to Barry Trotz and interrupt another important question as well by doing so.
Maybe something to bring up. Johnny, great stuff as always. Thank you for being with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
John Glennon from the Nashville Post, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Andrew Brunette is back as Predators head coach. The NHL draft lottery has come and gone, and of the available options, the worst possible option, the worst possible outcome for the Predators last night. We'll take your thoughts on all of it. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate John Glennon for being with us in the last segment. Andrew Brunette back as Predators head coach. The draft lottery comes and goes last night. The Predators could only pick 1 through 5. That was their options last night. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they end up with 5. So the worst possible outcome for the Predators last night. Taking your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Mark in Ashland City asking the question, Joe. Says, here's my honest opinion. What is there to be hopeful for Preds fans? This year was a complete failure, and it feels like we're stuck. The same coach, probably a similar roster unless they swing a major trade or two, and the worst possible draft lottery. I feel like there is real danger of apathy forming in the fan base. Are pro sports in this city cursed? This is from Mark from Ashland City. What do you make of that question from Mark?
I don't have a great answer for you. Yeah, there are some young guys. There is going to be a very promising prospect, even though 5 is a worst-case scenario. When you're as bad as the Preds were, you're going to get a good pick. So you're going to have a good, you know, promising prospect in the organization here in a few weeks. But, I mean, like what is there to be hopeful for? It's like basically you just have to have a lot of hope that a whole bunch of stuff just turns around. And, I mean, how often does something like that happen when you have a season like you had last year?
Yeah.
It's not impossible, but I don't like their chances. I mean, so much has to be told, like, you know, so much has to do, if not a 180, a 140, a 120, you know, there's a lot of stuff that was just really bad this year. And so I get it. Now, this is a text. I'm not going to read all this. I'm sorry that happened to you, or congratulations. But I'll start with, I used to believe in Trotz, but lost all faith with his in-season moves. And now, with keeping Brunette, it's done. He might be the worst GM in the league. And again, there's a lot more after that. But, I mean, look, the discontent with Trotz right now, I think, is understandable, and I think we're seeing a lot more of it.
Yeah, here's the one thing I would say. Things can change pretty quickly in this league. Now, I will say that most of the time, it changes from somebody being really, really good to really, really bad, right? Like, look at the Rangers. The Rangers won the President's Trophy last year, and this year they're bad. Like, they missed out on the playoffs. Vancouver, I mean, basically a year ago, right? At a year ago, where we were talking about a series that just ended, between the Predators and Vancouver. And Vancouver looked like one of those teams that was on the rise and it was going to be a factor in the Western Conference. And a year later, like, they dismantled their team, their coach is gone, and they're kind of wandering through the wilderness here. And it looks like, you know, here in about a year or two, they're going to lose their franchise player in Quinn Hughes, because I doubt that he's going to stay there unless something very seriously changes here. So it can change very quickly in this league. I mean, we see that happen all the time. I think long term, there's still reasons for optimism, right? Like, they do have a good farm system. They are about to add a top five pick to that. Long term, like, you might be able to see some stuff come together here. The question is next year. Like, what's next year going to be? Are they going to be a team that gets back into playoff contention? I mean, think about this. Think about, you know, and I realize it's not my money, Joe. It's not your money. But they went out and spent a ton of money this past offseason to bring in Stamkos and to bring in Marchessault and Shea. And frankly, when they did that, like, the thought of them missing the playoffs was not even realistic to me. I was like, well, they're not gonna miss the playoffs. Now, they may not win the Stanley Cup, but they're not going to miss the playoffs. And now, I mean, they missed the playoffs by 25, 30 points. Like, it was brutal. So if they have a season again next year that maybe is not even as bad as this one, but they miss out on the playoffs again, I mean, that's unbelievably disappointing given where you thought that they were headed when they made those moves last July.
That's the thing. They can be bad, you know, so-so, you know, 500-ish for a while next year. And it's like, well, they've made some progress, but it's absolutely not acceptable, you know. And that's just – it would be terrible. Yeah, last year we were talking about – after all the moves, we were like, well, you know, what is success? I mean, we had segments about that. It's like, well, certainly winning at least one playoff series. Like, you start there. That had – and I think, you know, I might have said, like, you know, they got to get to the conference finals this year. I mean, again, like you said, then look at the reality. Adam in Portland says, the definition of irony. Preds finally turned the corner, made it further than ever before, but only after firing Barry Trotz, the guy now refusing to make a coaching change. I will point out to you, Adam, Barry Trotz has won a Stanley Cup. The Nashville Predators have not.
Yes. I mean, I think people make too much of the Trotz thing as a coach. Like, it was time to move on, right? But, like, Trotz is demonstrated to be a good coach. Like, he's a Hall of Fame level coach. So there is that part of it that you've got to remember. Now, again, as a GM, I don't know. Like, there's a big difference between being a coach and a GM. And right now, the early returns on a GM don't look very good. And we're going to see if his patience and his trust and loyalty to Andrew Brunette, does it pay off? Or is this going to end up being a colossal mistake for him that ends up costing him his job? Like, I think that's where we're at right now, Joe. Like, if this doesn't work, I'm not saying if it doesn't work with Brunette, and let's say they move on quickly next year, that automatically means it's the end for Barry Trotz, because I don't believe that's the case. But this is a pretty big gamble from Barry Trotz sticking with Andrew Brunette and going the unconventional route, as you say. I think very few organizations would do this. I think he would be fired at a lot of places. So, is it going to work out? Is he going to be right? And again, I get back to next season. Like, I'm not worried about 5 years from now. I'm not worried about 3 years from now when hopefully all these young pieces come together if things go well for you. What about next year? Does next year's team have any shot to be competitive? And I'm not even talking about just getting back in the playoffs. Like, you want it to be a threat in the playoffs. That's what Barry Trotz said. Is that realistic for this group heading into next year based on what we've just seen? And what has to happen this offseason for them to get there that's within the point of realism?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the realism is just guys play way better, have way more production, play better together, play better collectively. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to do something. But, you know, when you have a season this bad, like, if they got to the playoffs next year and got swept, it still would be like, well, they made – I mean, some people will be saying that, right? They did make progress. Now, I agree with you. When you do what he did last summer, that's still unacceptable. It's just less unacceptable than the absolute cluster fart that we saw this year.
Hey, if they're bad again next year, the guy who's supposed to be the number one overall pick next year is, like, supposedly the next Patrick Kane. So there's that.
Yeah, but they won't win the lottery.
That's true.
Sorry.
There's a 12th place team that jumps up and wins the lottery. Cool.
Happened this year. Pretty much.
Really from a huge market.
615-737-1025. Preds lose out on the draft lottery. Andrew Brunette back as head coach. We'll get back into some comments coming up next from Barry Trotz on the Jonathan Marchessault front that I think are really interesting and illuminate kind of where they're at right now. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. The 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura at Hermitage Golf Course, is back. Coming up on Thursday, May 29th, you can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, Andrew Brunette officially back as head coach. They lose out on the draft lottery last night, picking number 5. In this year's draft, so that was the worst of the possible outcomes for the Predators. And Joe, real quickly on the lottery front, it was, number one, a weird thing to watch. It was very confusing, and the rules to it and all those things. But when they ended up and it was clear that they were getting number 5, I thought to myself, oh, of course. And then I looked at it even further. So with Utah jumping up to 4, Utah could only move up 10 spots when they won that second pick. So they were only eligible to get up to number 4. So that meant that because of the draft order, San Jose only dropped 1 spot to 2, Chicago only dropped 1 spot to 3, and the Preds were the one team that dropped 2 spots behind those guys to number 5. So not only did you get screwed, but you limited San Jose and Chicago and how far they dropped because Utah jumped up the way they did. Great outcome for the Preds.
Congrats, Preds. You know, I joke, like I was joking with my Blackhawks buddy last night about the fixing, but like it really isn't fixed, guys. Like, I mean, this is we'll go back to perma rant that I've done like 8 times. Like the reward for the NHL for like New York getting a great player, or Chicago, and again, this isn't even like a year where like there's a Bedard or somebody like that.
Right.
Like compared to the risk of like exposing your league as not actual competition and not legitimate. I mean, think about like if you ran a league like that. It's like when Jared's like, yeah, you know, they wanted Jacksonville to beat the Titans so they can have a Jacksonville Chargers game. Yes, the NFL with its multi-billion-dollar rights fees like that. That Jacksonville, that Trevor Lawrence, Josh Herbert game, that really makes a big difference in your outcome. But again, Jared just throws it out there like he actually thinks it's happening. This is idiocy, people. So let's not engage in it.
McDavid plays in Edmonton. Gretzky played in Edmonton. Yeah.
They screwed themselves big time there. The fixing did not work that night.
It did not. So I thought, first off, a lot of interesting things that Barry Trotz said yesterday. And look, you know, the decision to keep Andrew Brunette, the fan base has reacted basically the way I thought they would heading into this. There's a lot of people that are upset that Andrew Brunette is retained as head coach, which is natural when you are as bad as they were and finished 30th in the league. So I'm not surprised by any of that. And we're going to see how it works out for the Predators as time goes on here. I asked Barry Trotz yesterday about Jonathan Marchessault and the comments that he had at the end of the year about the style of play and how clearly it didn't work and about how they need to change things moving forward. And he brought up Bruce Cassidy, the Vegas Golden Knights, and just raved on and on about Cassidy and how good of a coach he is and how he makes adjustments and all those things. So we talked a lot about that in the aftermath of Marchessault's comments, and I brought that up with Barry Trotz yesterday to, you know, just kind of get his read on what his thoughts on that were and what his conversations with Marchessault have been like in the aftermath of that. Here's what Barry Trotz had to say yesterday.
I think, you know, when you have an off season like we did, it's easy to throw out, you know, the system. You got to have, I said, there got to be the buy-in. You know, it's easy to say, well, yeah, it didn't fit for me. Part of the process is you got to find a happy medium where it does fit, where your talents will fit really well into the system. And then you got to buy into the non-negotiables. The non-negotiables on a team, that's the responsibility of every guy in the team. So sometimes when you throw it out, you know, I know Andrew, and I know I talked to Marchie, and I know Andrew's reached out to Marchie, that from that standpoint, they will get on the same page. And I do know what Marchie said, and I'll keep that between me and him. But there's a give and take on both sides. There's certain talents. No one's a perfect player. No one's a perfect coach. No one's a perfect person. But you have to create an environment where there's understanding on both sides. And so to say, hey, this doesn't work. There's there's certain things about the way we played that Marchie would like to play a little differently, and so he voiced his opinion, I'm sure, on it, and he's talked to Bruno on it. Bruno's a smart hockey guy. He's going to do what's best for the group in the winning. So, but getting all that information is part of being a coach, is part of being the feel where your team is. As a coach, I made adjustments every year.
So I thought that was a really interesting response from Barry Trotz, Joe. What did you make of Trotz, what he had to say in response to my question about Jonathan Marchessault there? What kind of stood out to you from that answer?
Really, the question, I thought it was genius.
Thank you.
And I think that you elicited quite a response there. Yeah, look, there's clearly some I think, disagreement or conflict, not just with, like, Brunette Marchessault, but I think with Trotz and Marchessault. And when you talk about, you know, like you said, Robbie, you said it earlier on the show, buy-in, it's a very frequently used term yesterday, but you know, non-negotiables is a term that to me speaks to, I don't care what system you're in, bust your ass out there,
right?
Like that, you know, and I feel like to me that's a subtle way of saying, yeah, like, you know, we can work on stuff, figure it out, a little back and forth. Obviously Brunette did some things this year, but also, like, is your desire there? Like, are you throwing it out there for your teammates and for everyone, or are you going to sit there and cry about it? I maybe I'm being a little harsh with that, but I think there's a little bit of that in what he said.
I agree, and I brought it up earlier. I thought back immediately to what Steven Stamkos had to say when I asked him about Marchessault and his comments on the system clearly not working and needing to change things as they move forward. And the first thing Stamkos started talking about in his answer was, hey, man, when things aren't going well, it's easy to say everything sucks and the system sucks and we got to change everything about it. And Stamkos went on this long answer about that. And he eventually got around to, you know, are there things that you could tweak with what we do? Yeah, probably so. But also said, like, he didn't think the system just needed, like, some complete and total overhaul. So I found it interesting that, you know, I asked Stamkos about Marchessault's comments, and he immediately started talking about, like, how easy it is to complain when things aren't going well. And I asked Trotz about the comments that Marchessault made, and he immediately starts talking about buy-in and non-negotiables and making yourself work in the system that you're playing in. Like, a lot of people view it as the coach's responsibility to adapt your system to your players, and I agree with that. Like, I think that is part of your responsibility as a coach. I also think, you know, we probably overblow, and I've said this before, overblow system a little bit too much when it comes to hockey. And a lot of hockey, regardless of the system that you play, is read and react. That's a lot of what hockey is. So, I don't know. I just found it interesting that when I asked Stamkos about Marchessault and what he said, and asked Trotz about Marchessault and what he said, that they immediately start diving into something that really doesn't have anything to do with the system.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked so much about system here. And look, like when Brunette came in, even, you know, I mean, it's a fascinating system, and it's obviously had success. But it is, like you said, it's read, react. It's also chemistry between players.
Yeah.
And, right? And it's effort. And in some ways, it's very simple, you know? And I think some of this conversation has made it seem more complicated. And this is an interesting text I want to read from Lester on the text line driven by WilsonCounty.com. He says, the Preds of last two coaching stints have not developed the young talent within the organization, sent down or traded away or gotten rid of a lot of young talent. We need scorers. We need defense. Now even the goalie base isn't strong. It is, you know, of course, a part of all this, too, along with the Preds and getting the worst possible pick last night and all the things, has also been looking around the league and seeing some guys who look at least better where they are now than they did here.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I also think there continues to be an incredible overrating around here of the young prospects that they've had. Like, people still talk about Elie Tolvanen, who has turned into a fine player for Seattle. And they talk about Philip Tomasino, who has turned into an okay player for Pittsburgh. But the bottom line is they really haven't had very good young talent. Like, there's also that, right? Like,
the bigger picture is their inability to identify talent,
right,
with, like, people over a long period of time, especially forwards.
And that's what I'm probably more concerned about, is that going to change moving forward. Now, some of it, look, they went through a stretch from, 2016 on to about 2020, 2021, where they were trading a lot, right? Like, they were trading a lot of picks, and they were in their window, and they were trying to win. And eventually, when you do that, that catches up to your farm system. So they've been trying to play catch up with their farm system over the past few years, and I think they've done it. They've developed a good farm system. However, Joe, I still look at Matthew Wood, I look at Molendijk, I look at LaRue, Svechkov, Surin, and I have the same question that I've had for a while with him. A lot of those guys look like they could be good. Are any of those guys game changers? Is there one of them? Do they have any of those guys that are game changers? So, again, I'm not saying the Predators have had bad talent, but I think part of why they've not had a lot of young talent come in and be impactful players is because they have not made good choices with the young talent that they brought in the first place.
Right. So, okay, guys, okay players spread out around the league. At times it's like, well, that still would be better than we have now. So I get that. But, yeah, what difference maker have you lost? And what difference maker do you have coming? Maybe there's somebody, maybe a Wood, right, at some point. But at this point, it seems like some more pretty good guys who are in there. And that's not gonna get it done.
The one guy in the last 10 years who I would say that you drafted, tried to develop, and you took with a high pick, and I'm talking first-round pick, was Kevin Fiala. And you drafted him, and you traded him away. But you knew at the time, David Poile, I remember he said the day that they traded him, man, Kevin Fiala is going to be a good player.
11th overall.
Yeah, they knew what they were getting. They knew what they were trading away, and he's gone on since then and has turned into a really good player. Fiala had 85 points a few years ago in Minnesota. He's been at 72, 73 his first couple years in L.A. Yeah, he was at 60 this year. But he scored 35 goals this year. They knew what they were trading away when they did that, but the point was they brought in Granlund at the time and they were going all in with that group. So when you do that, that's the risk reward. But that's the one guy to this point that they've traded away that I would classify as a true difference maker. That would be the guy.
Yeah, and that was the year after the President's Trophy. They lose to Dallas, but that was an absolute go all in, go for it right now year.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More thoughts to get to on the Andrew Brunette and draft lottery front from the Predators yesterday. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, quite the day for Predators fans yesterday. A lot of Predators fans upset that Brunette is back, which, again, I think was to be expected walking into the day. And then just a slap in the face on top of it that the draft lottery goes the way it goes. I said it yesterday, and I agree with it. I think it's the case. They're going to get a good player. You get the number 5 pick in the draft, you're going to get a good player. You're going to get a good prospect. Whoever they pick is probably going to be the top prospect in their system as they move ahead here. So it's important, I think, context to keep that in mind, that they're going to get a good player coming up here in the draft. However, the opportunity to get a number 1 pick that they've never had before or a number 2 pick was right there in front of them, and they just lost out on it last night. And of the available options, you end up with the worst possible outcome, and it's a tough pill to swallow. So, we went through some of the draft options yesterday. I think Schaefer is probably going number 1, the defenseman, to the Islanders, but we'll see. Misa, could he be involved there? What does that look like? Does a guy like Hagan slide in the draft? Could he get down to you at number 5? If not, what are the options that are there? I still like a couple of the options that could be there. So they're going to get a good player, but it is, there's a difference between the number 5 pick and potentially the number 1 pick that we could have been talking about all show long today.
So there's some percentage of this fan base, Robbie, that, 1, likes Brunette and is happy he's back, and 2, was terrified of the idea of this franchise was going to take another defenseman if they got the top pick, and is a huge fan of Roger McQueen, and now sees Brunette back, awesome. Now that we're going to get McQueen, 6'5", I don't care about that back injury, he's going to be the best player in this draft, right?
I'm sure there's somebody out there, yeah.
We need to hear from you. I need to know like the percentage of the fan base that's happy about both outcomes.
Thank God they're not taking the defenseman. Now, I did see some of that yesterday. Of like,
yeah, I mean,
what if they got number one and they were like, "Yeah, we're taking Matthew Schaefer."
Yeah, that's why we were talking about like two would have been great. You know, two or three.
Two with San Jose finishing number one, like you know, San Jose would have taken Schaefer. That would have been good.
Right now, again, you also probably could use a great player who even a defenseman in the years to come. But I get it. I mean, the center search has gone way too long. So I think that they're going to come away likely with someone who could potentially be that person. Maybe not right away, but could potentially turn into that person. So it's still pretty good outcome.
Pretty good outcome, and we'll see exactly who that is and who's available at number five in the draft. Joe, real quickly to kind of wrap up the discussion today. You know, we've talked so much about Burnett and offense and the forwards and all that. One thing that Barry Trotz harped on yesterday that I think is going to be a priority for him this offseason that I do think you might see him dabble in free agency about. We talked about him talking about, you know, the free agent pool is not that great. Doesn't mean he's going to be totally inactive in free agency. It's not going to be like last year. I think we know that. Like, clearly, they need to fix their defense corps. We talk about the inability to score and the struggles with UC Saros, and all those things are valid, but their defense corps and their defensemen this year were awful. Which is, by the way, when you have all three of those problems, how you end up 30th in the league. So there's a lot to fix. But I think clearly one takeaway yesterday, Joe, was Barry Trotz is going to try to revamp this defense corps this offseason. And we'll see how much of that comes from the outside, how much of that is internal. But that's clearly going to be a priority.
So, in other words, Matthew Schaefer would have been nice.
Matthew Schaefer would have been nice. We'll see what that
but
ends up
people would have been
like.
Mad.
Oh, there would have been a lot of people mad. And I get it. Good fun show today. Really appreciate the participation. We'll be back at it coming up at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason Big Joe is coming up next. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your day. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.